Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Going in. You alright? Oh, that's piping hot. Straight from the kettle. Too hot for the moment. Scold myself. How are you? Are you alright? It's just ticked 8 in the AM, Greenwich Mean Time, of course, on Thursday. It's now Thursday already. The 26th of March in the year of our Lord, 2026. You are the very best among us. Watching the Bo Show live. My band of brothers. The glorious band, the chosen few. I am joined, as always, by my producer, Little Harry. How are you this morning? Good, sir.
Morning. Yeah, I'm all good.
Good. Great. And I really do hope all you guys are all right. And thanks for watching Breakfast with Bo. Isn't it? It's only bloody Breakfast with Bo time. Party time, excellent. Bo's Breakfast Club, hashtag the real BBC. The Lotus Eaters Breakfast Club, hashtag the real LBC. Let's get straight into it. What is the corporate mainstream media banging on about this morning? What are they trying to tell you is important and what isn't? What are they leaving out? What are they lying to you about by omission? All right, we've got Iran rejects peace plan and £400 million cost of saving scandal. This is to do with a bank lost a load of money and the Treasury is going to bail them out probably, almost certainly. Bank error not in your favour. All right, The Guardian, straight off the bat, The Guardian. Oh. Really? 1 minute past 8 and we're looking at The Guardian. It's unnecessary, isn't it? It's unnecessary, why do we do that? Okay, The Guardian. Complete socialist rag. Iran rejects US ceasefire proposal amid attempts to keep talks alive. So that's the thing, one of the biggest things, or at least on the front pages, or in all the news this morning, the legacy corporate mainstream media, is whether peace talks with Iran are sort of real or not. One of the things Iran said yesterday is that the US is having peace talks with itself. I.e., they've got nothing to do with it. They sort of insist that there's been no peace talks, but also, as I said yesterday, also though there must have been some dialogue on some level. Yeah, Tehran counters with own plan and vows to continue fighting. So Trump, or the Trump administration, put together a 15-part plan. Maybe it went through Pakistani intermediaries. But one way or another, Iran has rejected that. So even to reject a plan formally, officially, means that there's some sort of dialogue going on. Well, not necessarily. That could all be done through the media, couldn't it? Anyway, Iran have rejected that plan and come up with their own one. And their own one is, as you can imagine, as unreasonable as any Israeli or American one would be. Just, this is our dream list of things. Take it or leave it. You know, not really a properly reasonable set of demands, but there you go. Okay. They'll just continue fighting. I mean, that is the thing on the grand strategic level, is Iran doesn't have to stop, if it doesn't want to. I mean, it seems crazy they wouldn't stop as soon as they could, you know, attacking Saudi Arabia and stuff. But they don't have to stop, do they? If Trump and the United States decide they're going to stop, which it doesn't look like, they're moving more troops to the region, if anything. Iran doesn't have to stop, do they? I don't think Israel will stop, if the United States stopped, that is. I don't think Israel will stop. I don't think Iran will stop. So, bit of a hornet's nest, isn't it, really? But that's what everyone said would happen years before. I wrote an article, like, in 2021 or 2022, years ago, talking about how one day, I was talking about Israel, not the United States, but I say one day Israel will send, like, a giant sortie. You know, I didn't imagine it perfectly, but there you go. One day Israel might send a massive sortie of, like, 100 fast jets over the Zagros Mountains, perhaps over the Gedrosian wastes, and do massive bombing raids on Iran. But that would unleash just an ongoing conflagration. That would only be the opening salvo of it. That would only be the beginning. It wouldn't end with that, would it? But okay, Iran rejects US ceasefire proposal. That annoyed the Donald, as you can imagine. I mean, you know, he doesn't like being rebuffed, does he? Who does? But you know, the Donald particularly doesn't take kindly to that sort of thing, does he? He said he'd unleash hell. Well, he thinks he's Russell Crowe, doesn't he? Thinks he's Maximus Dixmus Meridius, commander of the armies of the North, general of the Felix Legions. Donald Ionus Tromponius Maximus. At my signal, unleash hell. Shouldn't joke, really. It's not funny, people getting killed. It's the frost. Sometimes it makes the blade stick. Okay, YouTube and Meta lose pivotal court case. Yeah, so this is the thing all about, it was in America, I think it was in Los Angeles. One particular young lady, I think she's like quite young, I think she's like 20 or something, and she accused Meta, because Meta owns loads of stuff, doesn't it? The Zuck owns he owns loads of things, like, you know, Facebook and WhatsApp and a number of other big stuff. And she said that they were responsible for, even YouTube were involved in the case, they were responsible for her addiction to social media. And the court decided in her favour and said, yeah, I think they awarded her like $6 million or something. Which, of course, is an absolute drop in the ocean to Meta, or ABC, or whatever. Alphabet, sorry, not ABC, Alphabet, who owns YouTube, don't they? So $6 million is a complete drop in the ocean. But the point is, it sort of sets a precedent, doesn't it? The legal precedent that other people can now bring a very, very similar case. And that might, well, in the end, cost loads and loads and loads of money. And probably also make social media platforms have to change the way they do things. People saying it's like the social media tobacco moment, right? When big tobacco lost a number of cases and were forced to profoundly change the way they do business, right? Back when I was a kid, or even a teenager, you'd have tobacco advertisements everywhere. For example, Formula One. I know 89% of you don't like Formula One, but I'm not going to talk about racing. Just as an example, in racing, there would be tobacco advertisements all over the cars, all over the billboards, and they had to change all of that. It just became sort of illegal. Because the world decided, or courts decided, that it was just, it was wrong to let particularly kids or young people just see cigarette advertising all the place, all over the place. And then on the actual packet of the cigarettes, you know, half the packet or more of than the whole packet, nearly the whole front and back of the packet is just a big thing that says smoking kills. That never used to be the case. anyway, just an example. Social media's sort of tobacco moment where they might have to change profoundly the way they operate and do things, or face paying out millions and millions and millions and millions of pounds all the time to anyone that claims they got addicted to it and harmed by it. Now, far be it from me to stan for giant multinational, multi-billion international corporations and things. That's a cliche, isn't it? Like some weird lefty soy boy clutching his pearls saying, you leave the multi-billion corporation alone. However, just in the interests of fairness, if I was a judge in that case, I probably wouldn't have ruled in favour of the plaintiff. I'm of the opinion that if you're addicted to something, it's sort of on you most of the time. Maybe not always. Well, definitely not always. But most of the time. Like, you get addicted to drinking Monster energy drinks, Red Bull. That's on you, isn't it? It's not great that those things exist, but... like, if you'd get addicted to meth It's sort of on you, isn't it? You know, the dealer doesn't help the situation, sure. But ultimately, it's up to you, isn't it? Like you get addicted to cake. It's not the cake manufacturer's fault, is it? Really? That's how I feel about it. You know, I know not everyone will agree with that. I feel the same with this. If you got addicted to what, scrolling through Facebook or watching YouTube, you got addicted to watching YouTube videos to the point where it harmed you. It's sort of on you to sort that out. Take responsibility for your own actions and your own life a bit. Almost entirely. Is that just me? Am I being really harsh? Am I missing something here? All right. So here we go. Meta and YouTube are responsible for people watching too much of their stuff. All right. Reform UK hit by new ban on crypto donations. Well, it's not just reform, is it? And it hasn't. I don't think it's actually happened yet. It's just the government talking about they want to do that. I think that's the case. Yeah, I think it's just that Starmer and the government want to do that, or say they're going to do that. Donations to a political party through cryptocurrency. I mean, I believe reform might be hardest hit because, to their credit, last I saw, what, a few days ago, a week ago, they got the most donations out of any party. Any party. All the big parties get a few million a year from people just donating to them. And reform got the most, I think comfortably as well. So something like that, crypto donations, that they would be probably hardest hit, but it wouldn't be them alone. And if people really want to donate to a political party, they can still do it, just not through crypto if the government gets its way. I mean, it's a bit much. Anyway, okay, all right. This is the new establishment globalist shill they've got to run the BBC. There you go. I used to run Google. Great. The Times, the venerable Times. There's the new Archbishop of Canterbury, who looks like Tubbs from League of Gentlemen. This is a local church for local people. Ugh. Okay, same thing. Meta face avalanche of claims after court ruling. Yeah, so anyone now, really, at least if you find a sympathetic court in Los Angeles, at the very least, you can say, oh, my life has been damaged because I just spent too long on Facebook. YouTube was too good at its job, making you want to click another video. 6 million quid, please. Trump flies into rage as Iran rejects peace deal. President threatens to unleash hell over snub. There you go. Unleash hell. I mean, as I said yesterday, they're sending something like 5,000 Marines and the 82nd Airborne, or some of the 82nd Airborne, to the region. But there's already like something like 50,000 service people in the region anyway. All of those are not combat infantry combat soldiers, are they? But still, there's tens of thousands of soldiers, one way or another, in the region, US ones. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised at all if, you know, over the weekend or next week at some point, there is some sort of limited ground action. And so Iran, having said that that's what they suspect, even like 2 days ago, would prove to be true, that this whole talk of a window of peace or a peace plan proposal is always just a gambit. We'll see, maybe not. We'll see, won't we? Just have to watch this space. All right, the eye paper. Royal Navy forced to borrow warship from Germany. Embarrassing. Deepening fears of UK on UK defences. I'll quickly read the blurb because it's about the best thing you get from Fleet Street, isn't it? The blurb on the front of the eye paper. It says, Britain unable to meet NATO commitments next month because it has no warships available in, quote, national embarrassment, quote. Yeah, a bit. Well, not a bit, very much so. Not one. not one frigate. Okay. UK will still be in command of military task force in Atlantic and Baltic, but will be doing so aboard a German frigate. King George V would be turning in his grave, and Kaiser Bill would be laughing his head off in his grave. Germany, we finally did it. We finally got naval superiority over the Brits. We finally did it. Okay, a quote here. It puts us in peril. All the cuts have come home to roost, says Lord West, former head of the Navy, a sentiment echoed by MPs. Iran rejects America's terms for peace talks and accuses, quote, enemies of preparing to invade strategic island. That would be that Karg Island, won't it? Or various other small islands in the Straits of Hormuz, specifically. Because, you know, you've got, on the map, you've got the Straits of Hormuz themselves, and then the bigger, wider Persian Gulf. But, yeah, might be various islands. Who knows? And finally, Trump will, quote, unleash hell, quote, if regime fails to accept defeat. Well, they're not accepting defeat, are they? Okay, the Financial Times. Danish upset. Election leaves PM weakened. I suppose a quick thing to say. Danish politics isn't a massive thing, although I know we have got a few Danes that watch. So just real quick, say they've had elections. They've been ruled by lefty governments for quite a long time. Well, they have coalition governments nearly all the time, with the lefties being the most powerful bloc within that. And now they've still got the most, after this newest election, they've still got the biggest number of equivalent of MPs, equivalent of congressmen or women. But the right-leaning parties have done much, much better. They're only a little bit behind now, rather than a long way behind. I believe that's the situation. Correct me if I'm wrong. Okay. Kremlin bolsters Iran's war effort by shipping drones, medicines and food. Yeah, so that does seem to be sort of a true, you know, accurate piece of reporting. It's not just like one analyst said Putin has done this now and don't ask us for any evidence. Not that. No, it seems like that's really happening. So, all right. I mean, okay. Western officials detect supplies. First evidence of lethal support. Drones. Tehran rejects Trump deal claim. Yeah, okay. The Meta and Google liable for children's mental health in landmark US ruling. Okay, we talked about that, didn't we? All right, now the Telegraph, the Daily Tory graph. There's the Archbishop of Canterbury. What a joke. Yeah. We've got someone like David Lammy as Justice Secretary. Someone like David Lammy as Justice Secretary. Someone like Angela the Fridge Rayner in the sidelines, hoping to be Prime Minister. Some complete moral and political weakling idiot like Keir Starmer as the leader. Some cuckoo in the nest like Olukemi Badenoch as the leader of the opposition. Some weird globalist traitor, sausage fingers man as king. And that as the Archbishop of Canterbury. It's not just that she looks like Tubbs, she is really weird and like really super, super woke and lefty and global homo and all that stuff. As you can imagine, I mean, look at it. That's the Archbishop of Canterbury. Archbishop Cranmer of 16th century fame would be turning in his grave. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. What's the point in having a church? What's the point in having a national religion when that the creed of that religion is anyone can be anything? You ever see a picture of that vicar lady holding up a sign that says, we are all Muslims? Yeah, you've seen that? Have you ever seen that? Right, that's not an Eastern Orthodox priest, is it? That's not going to be a Catholic priest doing that, right, is it? It's not an evangelical doing that, saying that, thinking that, is it? That'll be an Anglican. Where anyone can be anything. That whole worldview. a man can be a woman. A man, born a man, with male genitalia and whatever, just is a woman. Right? A Bangladeshi, a Nigerian, an Iraqi comes to England, and the second they set foot on it, they are English. All that. All that. Here you go. There you go. You end up with Tubbs as the Archbishop of Canterbury. All right. £400 million cost of savings scandal. Taxpayer expected to foot the bill after NS&I misplaces cash from 37,000 customers. Oopsie. Bit of an error, isn't it? A little bit of an error. You misplaced the money. Did you? Actually, more to that story than you accidentally misplaced it. Someone accidentally highlighted a few numbers in a Excel spreadsheet and accidentally pressed delete, and that's it. No, there'll be much more to it than that, won't there? Much, much more. Nevertheless, that's all you need to know, proles. We just misplaced it. Now pay up. £400 million, please, HM Treasury. Number 10 never tried to find McSweeney's phone. Yeah, I bet they didn't. Yeah, I bet they didn't. Because, of course, it's in their interest not to, isn't it? Yeah, of course they didn't. Oh, it'd be really, really convenient, McSweeney, if you just lost your phone right now. Oh, lo and behold, you did get it stolen out of your hand in London one day. Oh, okay, great. That is very, very, very convenient. Trump vows to unleash hell after Iran rejects his deal. Gonna unleash hell. We got great hell, the best hell, American hell. Okay. The Metro. Mm. Metro. Don't want. Former Tory Blunt's, his name's Crispin Blunt. Former Tory Blunt's shock court claims. Crystal meth MPs chemsex parties. Tory MPs having chemsex parties? Who would have thought? Heaven forfend. No one would have thought that. No one saw that coming. That's never happened before. All right, this guy, Crispin Blunt, used to be a minister at Justice. I believe, wasn't he, Justice? Yeah. Yeah. And now, recently, there was found... Oh, look, there's a... Bong to rights, they've written. Bong to rights. There's a bong there. Crispin Blunt, smoking blunts and taking hits from a bong. Insane in the membrane. Oh, yeah, crystal meth, cannabis. And other drugs. All sorts of paraphernalia. For chemsex parties. He's pleaded guilty, but he said, it was to help me understand drug culture as my role at Justice. It was to help me to understand the reality of illegal drug use and things. All right, mate. Sure it was. Sure it was. And the sex party element to it as well was that, just to understand. Just so you need to understand that properly. It's various, there's people. There was a guy that was in the thick of it, was it? And Pete Townsend from The Who. Both got caught with, like, child, underage child images. And they're like, it's for research. I'm going to write a book about it. I'm researching it. Yeah. Where's the book, Pete? Did Pete Townsend ever publish a book about it? I don't believe he did. The Daily Mail, the Mail Group. Complete slop, trying to pretend it's not complete slop. A very convenient theft. Yeah, it is, yeah. Guy Adams, that's a Daily Mail dude, investigates curious case of number 10 chief. his WhatsApps to Mandelson and the handily timed disappearance of his phone. Yeah, very handy, wasn't it? Yeah. Now, this is a horrible story. There's the Princess of Wales, Catherine Middleton, looking radiant as ever. This story, AI bot told teen to use a hammer to kill his mother. Yeah, this guy was like 18, kid, guy. Well, 18, you're a grown-up, aren't you? Legally an adult. This young man. This young man killed his own mum. I think he tortured her and eventually bludgeoned her to death with a hammer. And he's saying, and various other people are saying, that he was talked into it by a chatbot, some sort of chatbot. Probably wasn't the main factor, I wouldn't have thought. Like, he was completely well-balanced and happy, and had a healthy relationship with his mother. Then a chatbot, without being prompted, said, "Kill her with a hammer now." And he went, "Oh, yeah," and then just did it. I doubt that. Right. Misogynistic son bludgeoned her to death following chilling online chat. Like it's the chatbot's fault. These chatbots, these LLMs, like Grok or whatever, I mean, they reflect what how you use them more than anything, right? They're not intelligent in any real sense. Right? It's just like a language model. It's just like a very sophisticated cut and paste tool. It's not much more than that, is it? It's not really intelligent. Certainly not malevolent, is it? Really? Really? Like the chatbot sitting there going, we'll manipulate this young man into killing his mum. No, it didn't think anything, did it? He would have been interacting with it in such a way that he ended up saying that. The Daily Express, it's a good paper. Statement of fact, it's a good paper, full stop. Kemi, Olukemi Badenoch vows to, quote, make it explicit in law that biological sex matters, quote. Yeah, good. Yeah, straightforward, simple, 101. You shouldn't be particularly proud of that. It should just be absolutely de rigueur, shouldn't it? It should be absolutely without question. Obviously, that's just a normal, sane thing to do. I'm going to stand up for women and argue that they exist. Yeah? Yeah. Give yourself a pat on the back. All right. I will protect safe spaces for women. Yeah, good. It would be insane not to. I know Labour don't. I know Starmer had trouble defining a woman, didn't he? Didn't David Lammy argue that a man can have a cervix? Okay, all right. The Sun, what nonsense has The Sun gone with today? And they're talking about Hugh Edwards. Why isn't Hugh in jail? Yeah, we asked that question. Everyone asked that question at the time. How did he get away without a custodial sentence? How? Because loads and loads of judges in this country are extremely lenient on paedophilia. Extremely. Crazily so, often. To a crazy degree. Pedo drama reignites soft sentence fury. Yeah, he got away with a suspended sentence and a fine, wasn't it? Something like that. Okay, The Independent. The deadly mines at the heart of mines, as in like coal mines, iron ore mines, not like sea mines or land mines. The deadly mines at the heart of Trump's bid to profit from Africa. For only £5 a day, workers risk their lives in a war zone extracting minerals. World Affairs editors Sam Kiley reports from the Democratic Republic of the Congo on what the US president's brazen commercial interests actually means. Yeah, that's a shame. It's not exactly just Donald Trump, though. For example, let's have a look at, what was we going to have a look at? Was it, I think it was on The Sun. Today as well. I didn't dig this up from ages ago, I think. Today, Vlad's slave empire, horrors of Russia's £10 a month North Korean slave workers who get one shower a year living in bug-riddled containers. Yeah, lots and lots of people, so the reality is, isn't it? Lots and lots and lots of people in the world are terribly exploited, whether it's in the Congo or North Korea or a million and one places. And responsibility for that can be widely shared, can't it? From someone like Xi Jinping. You think China's not involved in all this. Big time, big time. From responsibility from Xi Jinping to Putin to Trump to the British government to all everyone in the world that sees it and doesn't actively do something about it. Right? But what about the government of the Congo itself? Is that not responsible for like the well-being of its workers in some way? What, these £5 a day workers that Trump is exploiting, what, they're all directly got contracts with US companies, have they? No, it won't be that, will it? It won't be that. It'll be that a US something like a US or Russian or Chinese company's got a deal with the country or with companies in the country. Just, they bid, they get, I won't even go into it. It's a sad reality though, isn't it? It's a sad reality that lots and lots of people are forced one way or another to basically work for very, very little money doing very, very hard work. To just say it's just Trump though. It's Trump's fault, that. Just Trump. It's an entire web, an entire world of injustice. Right? But it's Mr. Trump's brazen commercial interests that are the problem with it. I mean, it's painting a very, very particular picture for you, isn't it? So I talk about Fleet Street, what they're trying to beam into your head, make you think isn't reality, what isn't important, what they're going to lie to you about by omission. Mr. Trump, don't talk about the Chinese, though. What about Chinese brazen commercial interests in Africa? No? What about that, Sam Kiley? No, not going to talk about that. No? All right. Okay. Thanks for the completely unbiased reporting there, then. Okay, The Mirror. The Mirror. One of the other Beckham's son, was it Cruz Beckham, sung a song about his older brother's family rift in front of David and Posh. Beckham's heartache as Cruz sings a family rift. He fancies himself as a musician. He's obviously told he can do anything he wants in life. Doesn't matter how much talent you've really got. But he's a singer-songwriter now, Cruz Beckham. Oh, yeah. He only penned a song about the family rift. That's front news. Put that on the front page of The Mirror. Front and centre. Sure. Exclusive. Call to Andrew. Do your duty. This congressman there. Raskin. Congressman Jamie Raskin. He says, Andrew, it's Andrew's duty to come to America and answer questions about Epstein. I mean, it's not, but it would be nice if he did. It would be the right thing to do, wouldn't it? New demand for shamed former prince to give evidence in America. I would like him to, don't get me wrong. That would be great. He won't. I highly, highly doubt he will. Highly doubt. Top US Democrat says Andrew, should see Epstein testimony as a service. Yeah, it's his duty, or it's like his sort of national service. He should do it. Technically, it's not, but it is though, isn't it? Colloquially, like it would be. He should, right? It'd be sort of ethically, morally, the right thing to do for him to do that. I really doubt he will. He doesn't have to by law, so he won't, because that's how he's played it all along. All the way along, the whole thing is if he's not actually fully 100% legally compelled to do or say anything about it, he won't. So, I mean, Jamie Raskin, if you want to get sort of a full-blown Interpol arrest warrant for him and an extradition to the United States, or come and capture him Maduro style. It's not funny. It's quite funny. And compel him. Give him a truth serum. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. Otherwise, I highly doubt it will happen. All right, the Daily Star. The Daily Star, what have we got? We've got that darts dude. What's his name? Luke Littler. This very young man. Is he still even a teenager? And he's like the best darts player in the world. He's like some sort of child prodigy at darts. Luke Littler. And he's posing with an England shirt, the New England shirt. Game of throw-ins. Let's hope England Newcomb in World Cup. That's it. That's the front page. That's the front page. Oh, look at that. That looks like Toad of Toad Hall in that one. The Archbishop of Canterbury looks like Toad. Poop, poop. Okay. Okay, they're the front pages. That's it. That's it. That's the front pages for this morning. Should we have a look at our poll? What poll did we do today, Harry? Bring it up on my screen for me, would you? Engage. All right, we put, will Trump unleash hell on Iran? That's what we asked you. And 37, oh, it's completely split. It's completely split. 37% with a narrow win say yes. Yes, Trump will unleash. We didn't ask whether you would like it or not, whether you wanted to. We just say, will he? 37% say yes. 33% say no. And a big chunk, 30%, say maybe. All I know is my gut says maybe. All right, that's gone cold now. All right, well, that's almost as close to as split as it could be. A narrow win for yes. I mean, that Levitt lady, the press secretary, she said, and I've seen Rubio and Hegseth say it as well, and I believe it's true, that President Trump doesn't bluff. That's pretty much true, isn't it? I mean, he exaggerates a bit, doesn't he, obviously? All politicians do. He spins a bit. All politicians do. But on massive, massive things, right, he doesn't usually just completely bluff. You know, if he says he's going to do something, usually does. I wouldn't bet on him not doing it. So if he says he's going to unleash hell, okay, all right. 37% of you, very, very narrow win, say yes, he will. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't. I mean, really, what is the definition of unleashing hell? Some people say, well, unless it's a full-blown nuking, that doesn't constitute unleashing hell, quite. But, well, we'll see, won't we? We'll see. What happens? Let's have a look at the websites then. What have we got on the websites today? Trump unleashing hell. It says the Iranians are afraid to admit that they're talking to him. That may well be true. Might not be true, mightn't it? But it could be true. That they've got their own domestic audience to think about. And even if they are talking to him, they can't admit that they are. May well be true. Oh, I saw a report yesterday. Again, don't know if it's true. It's just a report saying that really, really hardliners within Iran, particularly within the military, their military industrial complex, what's left of it, if they get wind of anyone, any of like the political leadership talking to the United States or Israel, if they hear of that and find out and get evidence of that, they, the Iranian internal security forces, they'll just kill them as traitors or something. Just a report, take it or leave it, but I could believe it. I'm not saying it's 100% true, but could certainly believe it. So maybe what Trump says there isn't wrong, that Iran are afraid to admit that they're even talking, having dialogue with him. All right, there was something on the ITV News for once. Usually ITV News very, very heavily mirrors the BBC and is even weaker source than the BBC, if anything. So don't usually go to them very much anymore. But do you remember this story? I talked about this story, I think it was just before this war started, so knocking 4 weeks ago. This couple, British couple, were just hiking through Iran, or was it on a bicycle holiday through Iran, and then were just arrested and accused of being spies. And I don't know, of course I don't know. They may or may not be, you know, I would have thought they're probably not, but they might be. I talked about the other time, didn't I, how they're shades of grey. It's not that you're literally an employee of MI6. Right? You're not literally on their books as an intelligence officer or anything like that. But you are, they are in communication with you in some limited sense, even through someone that you don't even know is in MI6. And they say to you something like, if you're going to go here in Iran, if you're going on a genuine, legit cycling holiday through Persia, which is crazy anyway, but it doesn't have to be Persia, it could be anywhere. You're going on a holiday to Greece, and there's this one place there that we're interested in, like a particular hangar in an airport, a commercial airport or anything, one particular facility that's way out in rural areas. If you happen to cycle past that or hike past that, take a few pictures of it for us. And then when you come back, give us those pictures. And it's just that. So you're like you're not in MI6. You're not a spy. But you're doing a tiny amount of espionage and spying work on their behalf. And they may engineer it so you don't even really know that's what you're doing. It's dirt, isn't it? It's like the dirty world of intelligence and counterintelligence and espionage and stuff. I would suspect that either there's nothing to it and these two people are completely innocent, or it's something like what I just described. That there's a very small connection between them and the intelligence services, and they barely knew what they were involved in. That, or they're completely innocent. I would have thought. You know, might turn out they're totally MI6 or whatever. Who knows? Feel sorry for them though, of course. Of course. Trump will hit Iran harder than ever if they fail to accept defeat. Well, go on then. They are refusing to accept defeat, aren't they? Nigel Farage tops lists of PM's outside earnings, making $43,000 from cameos. Yeah. Nigel earns loads of money. He's a very, very rich man. $43,000 from cameos. I think that's just in the last year, I think. Oh yeah, he earned $81,000 the year before. I think he makes £1.3 million from GB News. The salary from being an MP alone isn't too shabby. He'll have loads of other income streams, I would imagine. Fair few other. You can only imagine. Farage had previously apologised for failing to report outside earnings within the required time frame after the Parliamentary Standards Watchdog found he had breached the MP's code of conduct 17 times by failing to register £384,000 in earnings. Meanwhile, Rupert Lowe gives all his MP's pay away to a charity every single month. Because he is also independently very, very rich. There you go. All right, let's have a look at... was there something on Sky News? Some deep and meaningful insight from Beth Rigby. Look how serious she is. What a serious political commentator. All right, love. There's something on the Mail Online. There usually is, actually. There usually is something of mild interest. Oh, yeah. Trump slaps down Bibi. Apparently, Netty had said, again, that the Iranian people should rise up and take control of their country and things. And Trump said, why the hell would I do... Like, he wanted Trump to do that as well. And Trump said, why the hell would I do that? They'll just get mown down. Trump in furious break with Netanyahu as he slaps down Israel's plan to topple Tehran regime. So, yeah, just... quickly said, why the hell should we tell people to take to the streets when they'll just get mown down? Yeah, I mean, that's a reasonable assessment of it, isn't it? I think because the Iranian regime has still got loads of armed police and security services of various stripes out on the streets and checkpoints everywhere with machine guns, even heavy machine guns on the back of like Toyotas and stuff, you know. So So what Trump said there seems like a reasonable thing. Whereas Bibi, just like, go on, go on. Go on, Iranian people, get yourself killed. Trump said, no, don't do that. No, that would be crazy. All right, there's that kid that killed his own mum with a hammer. And somehow it's a large language model's fault. Not that he's a maniac. All right. What really happened to Iran's supreme leader and the shadowy firebrand who may now be the best bet for peace? Yeah. Still haven't seen the Ayatollah, the new Ayatollah. Still haven't seen him. If he was, if he was terribly wounded, maimed in that initial attack and or is in a coma, what a crazy decision it was to name him as the next Ayatollah then. Crazy. Because that's what people were saying at the time when it was coming out. I think maybe principled uncertainty or someone said. But that's crazy, isn't it? Why would they pick him? Surely he isn't. Well, not surely, but, you know, questioning. It wouldn't add up. It wouldn't make sense if he was in a coma or terribly wounded. Because why on earth would you pick him? But that does, it is looking now, though, that that's exactly what happened. Odd decision-making, isn't it? Odd decision-making. All right. Should we have a look at... was there anything in the Express? I think there was one thing of mild interest in the Express. Oh, look, they're trying to make out like there's no foods in the shop anymore. Not true at all. Urgent food shortage warning issued in event that will make COVID look like tea party. It's not true. Pure scaremongering. Go into any supermarket right now, on the morning of Thursday the 26th of March, in Great Britain. No food shortages. Nope. You know, some normies might see that and panic. And go to the shop and buy as many tins of food as they can. And beef jerky. Things that will last. Pickled gherkins, whatever. They'll just buy all the fresh fruit and veg, rather. Not just things that will last. They'll buy all the fresh fruit and veg that's there. All the toilet paper that's available. Panic, because they're not thinking for themselves. They're not really perceiving reality properly. Express Online will tell them a lie, and they'll just buy it completely wholesale and then start making big decisions in their life based on that. It's mad. We've got to get past that. People like that are of a worry. Oh, here's the thing on the Express I wanted to mention. You know how I have said a number of times that in order to stop the boats, in order to solve the channel crisis, all you need is a few, half a dozen, 10 maybe, speedboats full of Royal Marines or the SBS to guard the channel. And we tow these little dinghies back to French waters. Well, in the news today, you're wondering, what does that look like? Is that a thing? Is that really a thing? Yeah, look. Yeah, exactly that. This. Half a dozen or 10 of these in the channel. Problem solved. End of story. Oh, we've got them. Oh, yeah. The story is here, though. More in the North Sea. The sea between Britain and, you know, Belgium and Holland and Denmark. That bit. Where Russian ships go. SBS cleared to raid Russian shadow fleet as dithering Starmer U-turns again. Oh, so we can deploy speedboats full of special boat service dudes against Russian tankers. That we can do, and are going to do, have done in the past. That we can do. But the invasion at the channel between Calais and Dover, where we're being flooded by foreign criminals, many of whom are just pure economic migrants, a drain on our country, and or sex criminals, and or murderers. We can't do that. It's crazy, isn't it? The government's got the political will to board Russian ships, provoking the Russian bear. We can do that. But the murderers and rapists in the channel, no. Every single day making a political decision not to do that. This. Half a dozen, ten maybe. A dozen at most of this. Of these. Of these dudes. And we're towing you back to French waters. It's not... Nobody needs to get hurt or killed or anything. It's just... We're forcibly doing it, though. If you try and resist, you might get hurt. So just don't resist while we tow you back to French waters. Do that for a few days, a few weeks, maybe. The smugglers will probably get the picture. Get the picture. And then we'll keep like two or three of them in Dover to prevent it ever happening again. If there's a chancer who tries their luck one sunny day. It's not difficult. It wouldn't cost a huge amount or anything. Operation Clear Them Out. All right. The Sun. Did we have anything else in The Sun other than just to mention the... Look, Red October. Brit commandos will board and seize Putin's sanction-dodging Shadow Fleet ships if they pass through UK waters. Yeah, look, again, we've got Royal Marines and special operators who are trained to do something far more serious than towing a dinghy back to the waters at the Calais beach. Highly trained. Right. Oh, it's 10-2. It's 10-2 already. Shall we have a look at this day in history before we do the Super Chats and Rumble Rants? What happened on this day in history? I like doing that. You seem to like me doing that. On the 26th of March, down through the centuries, what happened of note? In the year 1027, Pope John the 19th crowns Conrad II as Holy Roman Emperor, founder of the Salian dynasty. Yeah, I know a little bit about that. Not a fantastic amount. Conrad II, he's most famous really for being sort of, what, like an administrator type dude, like among other things. But like Charlemagne or Henry II of England, sort of thought of as someone that brought in, you know, made the state less ancient, more medieval, more centralised, made the state more centralised in various ways, reformed things. He was a reformer. There you go. It's not the most fantastically interesting Holy Roman Emperor that ever lived, but there you go. On this day in 1812, earthquake measuring 7.7 on the Richter scale destroys 90% of Caracas in Venezuela and kills an estimated 15,000 to 20,000 people. Yeah. Right during the middle of the Peninsular War, really, isn't it, 1812? Well, we got like the Battle of Salamanca or something going on in Spain. Was it like they just had Ciudad Rodrigo and Badajoz? Okay. On this day in 1871, municipal elections bring revolutionaries to power in Paris, who form the short-lived Paris Commune government. Shouldn't laugh. Yeah, it's the... The fallout from the War of 1871, if anyone doesn't know, Napoleon III went to war with Otto von Bismarck and got his ass handed to him, predictably. Germany and France had a war before World War I, full-blown proper war, 1870, 1871. The Germans win fairly easily, big battle at Sedan. The Germans march all the way to Paris. Forced the French to sign a humiliating peace treaty at Versailles. Politically, the French melt down. Absolutely melt down. Like, just complete collapse of government after government and things. They don't know what to do in Paris. They're going crazy. They fear that the Germans might enter Paris and ransack it and sack it and kill everyone. They didn't. The Germans didn't do that. That's not... what Bismarck was all about. But there's just complete political turmoil in France. Complete. Sort of can't blame them a bit. But anyway, as I said there was at that point, there was a short-lived Paris Commune. The communists, some of the hardline leftist communists, Marxists, decided... it's a long story. It's actually a long story. And They thought they were, well, there's a short-lived Paris Commune. There's a whole thing to it. This isn't a history show, so won't go into it here, but they tried to set up all sorts of barricades, thought they could defend Paris. All right. Look into it. Watch a YouTube video if you're... It is an interesting... It's a very, very interesting story. The War of 1870 to 1871. The Franco-Prussian War. One side effect of which was the Paris Commune. All right. Oh, and commies and leftists and reds to this day talk about the Paris Commune. Like the Cable Street riots or something. Like it's some wonderful, brilliant thing. Bit of an embarrassment. If I was a lefty, I wouldn't bring up the Paris Commune of 1871 very often. If you look at the details of it, it's embarrassing. It's like a lefty bringing up the Great Leap Forward or something. Makes you guys look bad, bro, really. Still, they do. They lie about the history of it, make it like it's some brilliant thing, like Cable Street, like it's some brilliant thing. No, it's a stain on you, if anything. You lie and twist the history, make it out to be something brilliant. All right, on this day in 1909, Russian military forces invade northern Persia to support Muhammad Ali Shah's coup d'etat against the constitutional government in Persia and relieve the siege of Tabriz. Yeah. Not the last time the Russians invaded Persia. Didn't they do it again in like 1943 in the middle of the war, World War II? And the Brits, joint Russian-Brit thing, right? Am I not wrong? Am I right? 1943, I believe. 1942 or 1943. It's one thing you can say about Persia or the Russian, Persia or the Iranians, whatever you want to call them, and not just the current Islamic regime, all of them, that they are suspicious of their neighbours and the big powers, Russia, the UK, France, the United States, that they're suspicious of them. Yeah. Because we have dicked around with them quite a lot over the years. Can't deny it. In 1942, the first Eichmann transport to Auschwitz and Birkenau concentration camps. Well, there's the trial of Eichmann there in Israel. All right. In 1953, Dr. Jonas Salk announces that he has successfully tested a vaccine to prevent polio. Clinical trials begin the following year. Yeah, great. Polio is a terrible scourge on humanity. Good. Okay. Oh, what else we got? Sorry. In 1966, large-scale anti-Vietnam War protests take place in the United States, including in New York, Washington, D.C. and Chicago. Yeah, it's quite early on, 1966. I mean, the war only kicked off big time in 1965. I mean, there were, it goes back further than that. I mean, there were US military advisors in there back in the Kennedy days even, but largely kicked off, escalated massively in 1965. And already then, by 1966, large-scale protests against it that carried on. By the Nixon years, the White House was almost barricaded in by protesters, constant protesting. In 1971, Bangladesh, formerly known as East Pakistan, under Sheikh Rahman, declares independence from Pakistan. Anyone who doesn't know, there used to be East and West Pakistan. Bangladesh was just East Pakistan. And it was like one political entity, basically. And in the end, and that was like in the late 40s, right? Partition is the late 40s, isn't it? And until 1971, when Bangladesh started operating as its own sovereign independent country. All right, there you have it. It's very nearly 9 o'clock, so let's have a look at our Rumble Rants and Super Chats. Two Rumble Rants this morning for T and Barber. In at number one says, the idea of the Donald negotiating with himself seems like Dark Helmet from Spaceballs with his toys. What? You went over my helmet? Love Spaceballs. I haven't thought about Spaceballs in years, but I've seen it like 20 times. When I was a kid, I used to love Spaceballs. Had it on VHS, so. You say, Starmer said he couldn't greenlight the drilling new oil fields, so who runs the country now? Oh, yeah, that was a story I meant to talk about this morning. Maybe I'll talk about it tomorrow or next week or whenever it comes up again. Our Prime Minister said he doesn't control whether we drill oil in the North Sea or not. He's delegated all of that, the entire decision-making process and the final green light, to the Energy Secretary, Red Ed Miliband, who's a crazy environmentalist weirdo, real weirdo. So the Prime Minister's just completely absented himself from that entire process, which is crazy. He shouldn't do. He hasn't. And finally, the buck stops with him, something as big as that. But no, that's just up to Red Ed Miliband, a crypto communist, who would see our country bankrupted and destroyed without power. Mad. Okay, CookieBoy23 says, wouldn't Mandy's phone have a record of his convos with McSweeney? Yeah, I thought this. Now, I've told you guys before, I'm technically very, very inept. But still, I thought it was the case. And has it not been in the case in other previous criminal investigations and things, that even if you destroy your phone, you drop your whole phone and the SIM card in acid and it dissolves away to nothing, don't the phone companies or WhatsApp itself still remember what was said somehow, somewhere? No? Yeah, and if they've got the other half of the conversation, i.e. Mandy's phone, it doesn't quite add up. It feels to me like the idea that McSweeney, whoops, now he's lost his phone, it's just gone. And it's gone. That's not the end of the story. I feel like, but I might be wrong. I am so technically inept, I don't really know about these things at all. So, but yeah, it's a good question, Cookie Boy. Good question, yeah. All right, the super chats, there's a few, so let's just whip through them. Global Church History, good man, straight in at the top. Number one, still at number one. Today, in 1196 AD, Saladin becomes Emir of Egypt. Salahuddin. On Epochs, I've got a multi-part series all about the Coeur de Lion, King Richard I. And of course, he went on the Third Crusade in Ultramarine, the Crusader kingdoms, modern day Lebanon, Jerusalem, Egypt. And he had a crusade against Saladin, Salahuddin. So yeah, if you want a few hours me talking about that with Carl, actually, Carl, that one's in conversation with Carl. So check that out. Yeah, Saladin becomes the Emir of Egypt. Didn't realise, though, it was on this day in 1169. There you go. Okay, very interesting. Thank you, Global Church History. Walder Zakarolik says, good morning, Bo and Harry. First time catching a live because it's 4 a.m. Keep up the good work. Thank you, sir. Thank you. 4 a.m. So what are you on the... what would that be? Were you on the east coast of the United States or in the Midwest? Is it even the West Coast? I don't know. But thank you for tuning in anyway. Appreciate it. Welcome aboard. Welcome to the glorious band, the chosen few. My band of brothers. Zef317 says, good morning, Brother Bo. No, good morning to you. Good morning. Good morning, good morning. The Fenlander, 1665, says, you can always turn the phone computer off. Yeah. For a half decent bit of money there. Sheep Are Awesome says, we cannot wait for the politicians to save us. Or is this going to be a doom one? We cannot wait for the politicians to save us. Everyone is mixing in every single day. By then, we won't be European anymore. Demographics are destiny. Waiting and voting will condemn us all to extinction. We have to do it ourselves and now. Well, even if I might agree with the sentiment, I can't really add much to that without getting yeeted. So, okay, thanks for the super chat, though. Demographics are destiny. I do still believe that it's possible to right the wrongs at the ballot box. If you get a government, If you get a government with enough balls and the right policies, mass remigration, largely everything can be reversed. Largely. It's not over. It ain't over till it's over. Barely just begun. We've only just begun. Dreadnought Logan says, at long last, I was able to watch you live. 1 a.m. car. Is that California? 1 a.m. in California? Okay, cheers. Great, great. Dreadnought Logan. Boom, you guys make this happen. It's all about you guys, really. Without you guys, it's nothing. It really isn't anything at all. Okay. Cruelly, with some zeros in it, says, Andrew would have to clear it with Nathaniel. Ooh, spicy. He rings up the fifth Baron Rothschild, Nathaniel Rothschild. All right, Nath, I'm thinking that it's probably the right thing to do to go to America and testify about Epstein stuff. Oh, it's a no, is it? Okay, got it. Cheers. Yeah, no, definitely. No, I'll do whatever you say. No, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I do whatever you say. You know that, bro. All right, cheers. See you later. Bye. Bye. Okay. Real Mr. Bra says, what's the intro song's name? Also, why did you guys stop streaming the main podcast here? Okay, so the second question, that's nothing to do with me. That was a business decision. I don't make really hardly any business decisions. Carl and first few other people in the background. And I don't know their thinking. I don't know really their decision-making process of why they decided to do that, but there would have been reasons. There are reasons to do with, I don't know, like maximizing. There's all sorts of, it's a little bit of a dark art of trying to game the algorithm, trying to do what's best for a given channel, like whether it's best to stream there or not, or cut things into bits or not, whether it should be long, how many shorts you do, endlessly tweaking thumbnails. There would have been a whole reason why they did it. But I can't tell you about it. I don't really know much about that. Even on my own channel, State of Politics. State of Politics. I leave all that stuff up to Nate, Mr. Hate Reviews. I don't know about it. And despite this being my job, I'm not inclined to learn about it either. I'll leave that to other people. So there will be a reason, but I couldn't really tell you in detail why. And then, what's the intro song's name? Harry, has it even got a name? I'm not sure it's even got a name, is it? It's just like a bit of music that was just... Has it got a name?
Yeah, yeah. So I did say I'd do this yesterday, but I forgot. So I'll find out what the name is.
And I'll find out some detail about it. And maybe tomorrow morning or next week or something, at some point, maybe at the top of the show, I'll tell everyone. I'll say, we've had a few people asking about this bit of music. What's it called and where they can get it? And da 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 da. And then I'll tell you about it. So is that all right? We'll do that. All right. And the very last one today is Krish. Cheers, Krish. A regular super chatter. Krish281 says, I'm a bit tinfoil on this one, but for me, Shadow Fleet, not insured by Lloyd's of London. Right, yeah. 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 A fair point. If it's not ours, if it's not insured by Lloyd's of London, it's just a danger and we should... Yeah, anyway. Good point, fair point. All right, then, that's the show. It's now 7 minutes past 9 in the AM, Greenwich Mean Time. On Thursday, the 26th of March, in the year of our Lord, 2026, you've been the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters, the very best among us. Try and make the best of the day ahead, if you can. No, can't always, but if you can, carpe diem, seize the day. You'll only have it once. You've got free time today. You're at liberty to do with it as you wish. Try and do something valuable with your time if you can. All right, I don't want to be too preachy. It's up to you, but bear in mind, you haven't got endless days. All right, then. Until tomorrow morning, take care.
Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto. It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino.